The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Good morning. This is Ursula Odom, and I am one of your hosts for today's show, along with Master Builder Ann McNeil and Angelique Frost. I am so pleased to be here this morning, and you are quite lucky because we are starting this book from the beginning again. Your timing is excellent, and you're going to hear from some people today that will help you understand why your timing is so excellent, because they have decided to form their own groups, and you will hear about that today. But to get started, I'm going to allow the co-host, and starting with Ms. Ann McNeil, to introduce themselves and tell you about this experience. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, and thank you so very much, Ursula. I am so very excited today because we are embarking upon a new year, but we're also embarking upon a new vision for the International Mastermind Association as we bring on one of our first mastermind groups that were formed out of our 2019 annual meeting that was held in Boca Raton, Florida on January 5th, 2019. And that group we will hear from today, they're called IMA Elevated Masterminders. But what I want to do now, Ursula, if you can give me a moment, I'd like to just share and kick off what we're talking about as a part of Chapter 1 as we start our walk through the book Think and Grow Rich all over again. And I think this is about our 11th or 12th year. I can't keep up. And so my aha moment and my favorite part of the book in Chapter 1 actually changed my life in December 31st, 1979, and I tell the story all the time because I think it's so very important to have the backstory. And that portion of the book deals with the six steps to riches, where Napoleon Hill asks us all, how much money do we want? And that's the first step. The second step is, what will you do in return for the money? What kind of product or service will you sell to get the money? The third step, he asked us to place a date, be specific about the date we want the money, to have the money. The fourth step to riches that he shares is to, the third step is to determine by what date. So again, number one is how much money you want. Number two is doing what. Number three is the date. And then number four is what is your plan of action to have that amount of money. And then he goes on to say that the fifth step to riches talks about taking step number one, number two, number three, and number four and creating your affirmation statement. And then the final step is to repeat that statement twice a day as an affirmation statement. And so that has been my best, favorite, most life-changing portion of this book, found. And for that, Ursula, and I'm going to go back on mute.
Thank you. Thank you very much. As it relates to this chapter for me, and this is what we're going to share at first, our personal aha moments. I've heard a lot of people talk about reading the book multiple times, and to me that sounds a little bit strange. You know, why would you read something so many times, especially the number of times I've heard people read it? Well, I've started reading this book a second time for myself, and it's amazing how different it is that second time around. It's so much I did not get or did not internalize. But now I'm reading it with new eyes and a new set of experiences, because having gone through it once and seeing some success, actually quite a bit, now going back and knowing that this works, I'm quite attentive to what I'm reading. But also one of the things that I was thinking about is the fact that, you know, you walk around and you hear people talk about why things are helping them succeed and what they're doing, and you think that this is such wisdom that's coming out of nowhere and they're just so brilliant. Well, I had an experience not too long ago, about a couple of weeks ago, in fact, where a friend of mine and I was sitting down talking to a very successful person that we both respect. And that person started sharing with us what he did to get to where he is. Not once did he mention Think and Grow Rich. But my friend and I were looking at each other, and it's like we could read him. It's like we knew exactly what chapter he got it from, because he was following the principle to a T, or following the book to a T. So it was such affirmation that here this person was doing it, whether he knew it or not, and I suspect he did because it was so on point, that it confirm that this is exactly what we need to be doing, because this works. And that in itself speaks to my aha in terms of the chapter desire, because what it says is a burning desire to be and to do is the starting point from which the dreamer must take off. Dreams are not born of indifference, laziness, or lack of ambition. So if you want something, you have to have a burning desire to make it happen. You can't just say, I want to happen. You have to say, I really want it. And you have to say it with a lot of emotion, that your brain puts it into your subconscious. And we'll talk about that later. But I understand what a burning desire is now, looking at this chapter with a whole new set of eyes. And Angelique, you always have something wonderful to say. So let's hear what you have to say about desire.
Good morning, Ursula. Oh, my gosh. I think this is one of my favorite chapters, but I get so excited. I'm going to have to make sure I just stay on this one chapter. You know, if desire to me is, as it relates to me, this is the beginning chapter that's going to allow the entire experience of this book to unfold to you. So it's kind of like a put on your seatbelt chapter. You know, in the chapter, Ms. Ann lists the five steps that it states as far as making it plain and knowing what you want. And, you know, you'd be surprised to know when I go to certain people, like, what are your dreams? What is it? What are your desires? A lot of people really don't know. A lot of people have multiple talents. A lot of people have a lot of trades. So it's hard for them to narrow it down to one person or one thing, shall I say. And I like to say this. It's usually the thing that someone told you couldn't do. It's usually that one thing that someone said, oh, you'll never do that. You'll never amount to that. That's crazy. That's impossible. That's so far-fetched. Normally that tends to be your desire, something that makes you happy, something that makes you smile. So when I initially read the book, which Ursula, now I think I'm like 25 times, this is my 25th time reading the book, but I decided to step back from the book for a while, and now I'm getting a different perspective. Every time I reread this book, it unlocks a different chapter in your mind to just be more open. And I'm going to state a few of Napoleon Hill's quotes in this particular chapter for desire, since we're going to be wrapping up. There are so many, but I have limited
limited them to about three. The first one, which is on page 31, it says, success requires no apologies. Failure permits no alibis. And the second one would be, every failure brings with it the seed of an equivalent success, which is also on the same page. So to me, like, desire is just like, for all of the listeners and all of the masterminders from our Boca Raton trip, which I feel like have so much enthusiasm and so much high expectation, in the book, further down, it teaches you that if you get this desire, or if you find what it is you like to do, if you do not succeed, it is not the process that failed, it is the person. So to me, that really helped me out, Ursula, because it's like sometimes we can be doing something and then it doesn't quite go the way we would like for it to go. I think a lot of people would put that off and say, oh, okay, it's going to be a better time. Or, oh, okay, you know, maybe we need to wait longer. It's like, don't put it off. Your desire will come to you, but know how to rearrange and work around your dreams. You know, in the book, it teaches you to put these things where you can visually see them so that your subconscious mind is consistently working, even if it just sees it, you know. So this is definitely a great chapter. I'm so excited that we began to start from the beginning of the book, and I'm so excited to see the different experiences and the different effects that it has on people, because you and I know, Ms. Ursula, that it has a different effect on every individual. But the key desire is it for you to change your thinking. That is a desire that I hope that all of us could, that would be the one common denominator that I hope that we will all share on this book. Thank you so much for allowing me to share, Ursula.
Thank you. And up next, we have Ms. Robin Donaldson, and she's also a co-host. So, Robin, tell us about how desire has impacted your life.
Good morning, Ursula. I can honestly say it would be those six definite practical steps. Because for me, I had a lot of dreams and aspirations, things that I thought that I just had a lot of dreams and aspirations, but never knew quite how to get there. And as simple as the six steps is, which was to fix in my mind exactly how much money I wanted, determine exactly what I intended to get in return. But most importantly, I had to establish a date when I intended to possess the money that I desired. And then with the fourth and fifth step, which is to create a definite plan, and five, write out a clear, concise statement of the amount of money that I wanted to acquire. And so for me, desire, it again helps me plan out my journey, my ideas, anything that I wanted. Now I know how I can implement those things. And then from really, again, making a clear, concise statement of what it is that I wanted, I was able to make my little plan. So for me, I had to break those big plans down into small increments. And then as a result of accomplishing those smaller plans, they gave way to bigger opportunities and plans. So again, for me, desire is the beginning of all things, as the chapter talks about. But for me, it allowed me to put things in focus, in perspective, and ultimately to achieve my goals where I can now go to greater heights. So that is what desire has done for me.
Thank you, Robin. And what you just reminded me of is that just, I think, 2 days ago, I was thinking about my affirmation and what I had decided that I want by the end of the year. And then I thought about it. I said, oh, my goodness, that means I have to make or bring in X number of dollars every 3.5 days. And it was, like, overwhelming. It was like, oh, my goodness. And just when I was about to go, oh, I don't know if this is going to work, the phone rang with a book order. I said, okay, we can do this.
But what it does is
it makes you, if you have a burning desire to have that end result, then you have to have a burning desire to break it down, like you said, to figure out how you're going to actually make that happen. Otherwise, you're lying to yourself. But, you know, and it causes you to say, okay, then I need to do something to make this happen. I can't just sit and wait. I have to go ahead and do something, because the phone rang because I had a meeting the day before, and I rushed that meeting. I mean, if I must say so myself, I had a good time at that meeting, and they put in an order, a big one. So I'm excited about that. And you're right, you have to put a plan in place, and then you have to work that plan. So
yes.
Thank you for that. Coming up. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You have something else?
But no, I had just wanted to add, I know the first time that I had started with the reading of the book, I had said that I had wanted to make $100,000 that year. And that's something I had never accomplished. So I had to break it down. I said if I wanted to make $100,000 that year, I needed to make $8,333 that month. And then I had to break it down to the week. I know that I need to bring in $2,083 a week. And Ursula, I had to break it down all the way to the minute. I know that every minute of that 40-hour week that I need to be bringing in $2. So now I don't have time to waste. I don't have time to procrastinate. I don't have time to, you know, to even deal with frivolous things that are not in accordance to what I have going on. So, again, when I was saying that desire just really laid it out to me, and then as I was able to, again, take those bite-sized pieces and accomplish those little goals, again, it gave way to much larger goals. And now I'm thinking about, well, my goal for this year was to make $700,000. So it really works. You just have to work the system. And, again, as the six practical steps says, you have to write it down. You have to read it. And for me, I have index cards with my declarations, my affirmations, and most importantly, my goals that I want to accomplish. I have a set of cards in my car, in my visor. So while I have the car warming up, I'm reading those. I have those same declarations on my mirror in my bathroom. And every time I go in the bathroom, I'm reciting those things. So whether I believe it to be today, subconsciously, I'm feeding that into my mind, and it manifests in, I'm just overwhelmed. But, again, it does work, and I would encourage anyone who has an idea or wants to be more successful in their business that they start with that burning desire and, again, just break it down. And they will see the success, or shall I say, they will see how their desire has been transmuted into financial equivalent. And thank you for allowing
all
me to
right.
share, Ursula.
And apparently something that was said has fired up Angelique, too, because she raised her hand saying she wants to say something. So it's yours, Angelique.
Hi. Okay, Robin. Okay, something she said triggered something, because when this journey began, I was like, something happened where it just puts you into complete focus of whatever it is that you're lining up. And for all the listeners, I just want to say, once you accomplish a goal, you will never get to that point again. I just wanted to share two experiences that I personally experienced with the book. It triggered when Robin was speaking. One, once you accomplish a goal that you have set and come up with a definite plan and you accomplish that goal, you'll never stop. It's not like you're going to reach that one goal and say, okay, that's it. Something will happen. You know, I don't know if this is psychological, spiritual, or a combination of the two. Something will happen, and then you will begin to place more goals and reach further and further and go more in depth and more in detail, because, Ursula, I heard you say that as well. It's not like you're going to reach this one goal. That's why in the chapter of desire, it is preparing you to transform your mind and change your thinking. And another thing is that when Robin was sharing about the $100,000 limit, which I'm pretty sure all of us have experienced, as Aaron told us to put a number, mine superseded that number, of course, as well as when I was in Boca Raton, everyone kind of experienced the same thing. What happens is, I know this for me, Ursula, I don't know if you want to piggyback off of me to share your experience. Once you're in a position to get what you want, for some reason, your desires change. Something happens. There is something about, you know, there's a lot of us that can't afford to do certain things that we would want to do, travel the world or whatever, you know, your hobby is. But there is something that transforms and happens when you're put in that predicament to be able to do it. Something happens. It's like it gets a desire. You know, I tell a lot of people at the beginning of this, I was so kind of not materialistic, but I love fashion. I love nice things. Ursula, now it's like a mountain makes me happy. A fireplace makes me happy. Like all of these sentimental things. So I know, and it's like, what? I didn't even know. So now it's like the simplest things, or it's the things that money can't buy that means the most to me now, and that's something I had to experience for myself because, you know, we've always heard that saying, money can't buy you happiness, or this and that. I was thinking to myself, it just haven't gotten in the right person's hands. Money can't buy you happiness. But it is so true. The book kind of changes your mind, and then it transforms your thinking to, even though we know, of course, we're going to get money, even if you get it and give it all away, is Ms. Ann's best analogy. But it's like something happens within this book when it unfolds to you to let you know, even though we can accomplish this money, there's something at the back of this. You know, you just feel it turns you into a heart to give or a heart to sow. So that's also something that transforms in the book. And the last thing that I wanted to say, because I know we have guests on the line, is that I remember when I first began to read this book impacted me so much, Ursula. So I would be calling Miss Ann, like, I'm trying to get the world to read the book. Like, come on, you got to read this book. You got to do this. And, you know, she said something to me I'll never forget. Everything isn't for everyone. You know, me being 30, a lot of people, you know, going out doing different things. And I remember kind of feeling isolated because I'm like, I just want to read the book. And I had such of a direct focus. And, you know, I remember my friend asking, you don't want to go out anymore? And I'm like, no, I escape in my dreams. So the book will definitely give you an escape with everything that's going on in the world. And it will definitely just open something up in you that I can't quite explain. But if you're listening and you're reading the book and applying it, you'll feel the same way at the end. Thank you so much, Ursula.
Thank you. And I tell you what, this is an example of how it works. And Robin, I see that you have a question. So as soon as I'm done, I'm going to turn it to you. And then we're going to go to commercial and have our guests come on. But because Angelique said, I don't know, Ursula, do you have anything? Well, at that moment, I didn't. But then it caused me to think about something. And this is what came to mind. And to me, personally profound. What I realized in the moment after she asked me this is that if you don't have a burning desire for something, then you may be declining. Because here's what I know. A burning desire may save your life. Because the people that I see that are just crumbling under life itself have no goals. They have no desire for anything. They're just waiting for the end. But if you have something in front of you that's going to pull you forward, it just might cause you to live a little bit longer. I don't know, but I got a suspicion that maybe it does. So, Robin, what have you got to say about?
You know, I wanted to, you know, Angelique, I had to just, I just had to piggyback off of Angelique. And you know what? I love the synergy that we have each and every Saturday morning. Another thing that resonated with me with the desire chapter is all of the illustrations or the examples. They gave an illustration of Henry Ford, Marconi, the Wright brothers. These were the first of what they did. They were game changers, and they were also people of little means. And for me, that just was an encouragement because, again, I'm embarking on projects and plans that I had never fathomed. I never thought was even in the works for me. But again, just understanding that everything can be accomplished if you have a plan. And it's so simplistic, and that's what the book provides, simplicity. And for me, I just likened it to anyone who has to travel to work. If you know that you have to beat the train, you have to be out of your house by 6 o'clock, you have to be on such and such street to beat the train in order to get to work on time, you plan accordingly. So it's really just that simple. And again, that's why I really appreciate the desire, because like you said, if you don't have a desire, you're dead. I mean, what are you living for? And again, I just love the call, the energy, and most of all, the masterminding that we all share on this Saturday call. So that was my comment.
All right.
Thanks for allowing me to share, Ursula.
Thank you very much. And with that, we have some guests that we need to hear from. So, Sharon, you're going to be up next, and after the commercial, we're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to let you hear the dynamic people that have made the decision to move forward and why.
You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Welcome back to Think and Grow Rich Mastermind, and we're having a discussion about the desire chapter. And at this point in time, we're going to have you hear from a group that have actually decided to start a mastermind group, and they're a young group that's all excited, and we want to hear why they're doing this and what inspired them to do it. And I introduce you to Sharon. So, Sharon, would you come on, let us know who you are, and tell us about this experience for you.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. And, oh, boy, did I want to jump in. That was awesome. The energy is crazy on this show. You guys are amazing. And I am Sharon, known as Ask the Coach Parker. And I am the humble leader of Elevated Masterminders. It is a group that birthed out of the 2019 annual meeting of International Masterminders. And it's so ironic because there's a saying that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And me personally, I've met Miss Ann through another venue, and taking pictures is a hobby for me, so I like doing that. And she found me somehow and said, I want you to come take pictures. I was like, okay. But I don't think she realized in the conversation, she said, wait a minute, you need to be here, you know. So with that said, I grabbed it right from her, and I came on that Friday night for the meet and greet. And then I said, I'll see you tomorrow. She was like, you coming? No, Miss Ann, no, she plants a seed. You immediately grow. So, of course, I came the next day, and I had the pleasure of sitting at a table with some great people, people that I didn't know. I didn't know anybody at the table. But my ears were peaked, and I was listening attentively to all the presenters and the groups, and I had heard of masterminding, and to be honest, I had tried, but I never found my tribe. And so I looked over at Ferris, and I said, hey, we should start a mastermind group. They said it only take two. And she said, really? I said, yeah, I think we should do it. Okay, awesome. So then we were having lunch, and we ran into Damaris. And we were saying, well, we're thinking about starting a mastermind group. She said, really? Well, at our table, we was talking about it also. I said, okay, well, we're going to make sure we exchange numbers, and we're going to get started. So then, you know, I'm the walk the room person, so I like to go around and talk to people, meet and greet. So I ran over to Dee's table, and that's where Rose and Nancy and who else was at the table? I don't know if Angelique, no, I don't think she was at the table. I'm not sure. But I said, hey, we're going to, you know, we're coming over here to get Dee's number. so we can start a mastermind group. And then I think Rose said, well, no, who was sitting next to her? Marie was sitting next to her. And she said, well, we were going to start one too. We're thinking about it. And there birthed the Elevated Masterminders. And so wow. Here we are.
okay,
what,
so you mentioned
later.
How many days later?
22 days later. It's 10 of us.
How many?
15, including me.
Oh my goodness! Wow, you all are going to make some major changes in this world. Now you mentioned a number of people that are actually on with us today, and they're part of the show. So, do you have any comments about the first chapter? And would you share that? And then we will go to Rose to find out if she wants to share anything about what this experience is for her.
Well, the first chapter is dealing with me on my persistence. I often say that I call myself the phoenix. I say I die a thousand deaths, but I rise from the ashes. And on page 32, it talked about Thomas Edison's dream of the lamp. And it said that Thomas Edison dreamed of a lamp that could be operated by electricity, began where he stood to put his dream into action. And despite more than 10,000 failures, he stood by that dream until he made it a physical reality. Practical dreamers do not quit, you know, and sometimes in my life I think I have spiritual bipolar because one hand I want to quit, but my burning desire won't let me. And by reading this chapter, it just reinforces that my wherewithal and my perseverance, and that I've been following my dream, but this burning desire won't let me die. It won't let me quit. It won't let me give up. And then it also said, every adversity brings with it the seed of an equivalent advantage. You know, so it's like this book is reinforcing my journey. It's reinforcing this chapter, I mean, not the book. This chapter is reinforcing my journey of my inability to, I kept saying, why won't I quit? Why won't I give up? But this chapter is telling me because I'm a dreamer, because I have a burning desire. And then it said, it talks about, and I wrote in my book, No Excuse, you know, in some of the portions where it reiterated that, you know, you have a burning desire. That is what has driven you through your 10,000 failures, through your 1,000 deaths. You keep recreating yourself and you keep coming back and you keep saying, this is going to happen. And so it's just helping me, because to be honest with you, when you try and you try, you try, you fail, and you try, and you fail, and you try, and you fail, and you know you got multi-million dollar ideas on your desk just waiting to happen, you know, this book is saying, Sharon, this chapter is saying, Sharon, you're on the right track. Stay focused. And I want to thank Angelique for saying stay focused. So,
And, you know, as I listen to you, I know with you as a leader, this group is going to be awesome. So congratulations to that. And we also want to let Rose have an opportunity to share what this means for her. So thank you, Sharon, and look forward to seeing the success of your group. Okay, Rose, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Ursula. Glad to be on the call today. Just like Sharon said, she just came up to my table and asked if we wanted to be a mastermind. But prior to that, when I came to the mastermind event, I just was open. You know, I'm one that don't specifically have I don't specifically have a company yet or own a business yet, but I have an itch for entrepreneurship, so I just became open. I said, however I'm led, I'm just open.
and being part of the mastermind group, what it did allow me to do, I was thinking this morning about the chapter, and what I was thinking about, and I wrote this, I said, when you have a desire, imagination, and when you start using your imagination, you start becoming very open to your surroundings. You start becoming open on what things are coming towards you. Like after the mastermind meeting, I just started writing. I started reading the book. I started becoming focused. No, I won't say focused, but more sensitive on what's the journey or the path that's being opened before me. And I, and so this journey has been very interesting because it's really showing you the opportunities are limitless when you are open to it. What really tends to stop us is our limiting thoughts. Like, can I do this? Or, you know, I don't, oh, this was one, the part of the six steps that really when I read it, and that's where I was, is that in number four, step number four, it says create a definite plan. Well, I'm like, I can't plan something that I don't even know what business it is. But then it says for carrying out your desire and begin at once, says whether you are ready or not. And when I read that, that's exactly how I went into the mastermind meeting. I mean, the meeting with Miss Ann, is that I just went in there just open, just open. And so being open allows you to see opportunities. So that's one of the aha moments that I had reading the book and just being part of the mastermind. And as you are open, you become more focused on the path that you're supposed to be on. You start realizing the gifts and talents that's on the inside of you. I'll say this. I was strong in one area, but then you start realize the untapped gifts and talents that are on the inside of you. It's like, I didn't know I could do that. Or I started let me just say this, because I'm thinking of all these opportunities and open doors that's coming before me. But all I can say is that as you start allowing yourself to dream, you will see the opportunities. And I'll end with that.
Wow. I was just looking at your group's name, IMA Elevated Masterminders,
mm-hmm.
with this group of people, you all are going to be pretty awesome. I can see that right now because you are at a different level just on as individuals. And we also have Dee with us today. And Dee, share with us what this means to you.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm really excited to be a part of this group. I have to share a little bit of my story. I was introduced to this book about a year and a half ago by my daughter. And we had been looking for a mastermind group, and we searched high and low, Googled, and we could not find anything. I had known Miss Ann for about 7 years, but it was through work. We never really interacted much. And one night, out of the blue, she had texted me and asked me if I wanted to attend her retreat. And I said yes. I didn't know what was it all about, but, you know, I accepted. And when I got her email and saw that it was, you know, based on the Think and Grow Rich book, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. And, you know, I attended the event, and honestly, I can say that I was holding back tears the entire day because it was exactly what I was looking for. And when I, you know, next I attended the event in January, the accountability, the annual accountability meeting. And, you know, I didn't know anybody either. And that's where I met Sharon and Ferris and Angela and Nancy, all these wonderful ladies, Rose. And, you know, it was just exactly what I was looking for. These ladies are amazing. And just to be a part of this group, they have an amazing energy. They're full of love and we're all like-minded, and it's just, it's been an amazing experience so far, and it's not even been a month. So this circles back to my aha moment in the book, where it says, "Strange and imponderable is the power of the human mind. We do not understand the method by which it uses every circumstance, every individual, every physical thing within its reach as a means of transmuting desire into its physical counterpart." You know, we don't know how it works, but it definitely proves that you only need to have a burning desire and things just fall into place. And IMA, Elevated Masterminders, is what I was looking for, and I'm just excited to be a part of the group. Thank you.
And thank you. Now, last but not least, we're going to hear from Miss Katina, who's also a part of that group. Good morning, Katina.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm just wonderful. So I know you from other areas of life. So let's hear about Mastermind and what you're doing with this group.
Well, Elevated Masterminders, we're going over our names, and I change my words every year. So I get two words and I say them throughout the year so I can see growth in what I'm doing. And that word was elevated, become more elevated in my life, in the 10 areas of my life. So that's where the name came from. But when I was asked to join a group, I said, okay, actually, Angelique and I, we had already started our own mastermind, and we were asked to come over to that group, and I was like, okay, so it's more accountability for me, and that was just a blessing. Okay, I have more people to say, come on, let's help you through your process, so that's why I joined the group.
So what about your aha as it relates to desire?
My aha as it relates to desire is to elevate my burning desire by making it plain, writing it out, and clear, and seeing it through.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And with that, if we I'm looking to see if our Fearless Leader wants to share some additional things with us this morning to take us into the week. Miss Ann. Okay, so here's what I'm going to say today. We've had a wonderful, absolutely wonderful show. I've totally enjoyed our guests and our co-hosts. And this is what we do every Saturday morning, and you can join us. And at some point in time, if you're not already, start your own international mastermind group, Think and Grow Rich group. So until next week, think and grow rich.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.